Hello, my name is Annabelle Brady, and I'm an adult actress. I use the term adult actress, not porn star, because I think of porn stars as being young, nubile 20-year-olds, or perhaps younger, 18, 19. I'm 56. I've been in the business for almost 2 years now. Like perhaps most people my age, I didn't get into this. It wasn't a career I selected for myself, but rather I got into it because the money was good. That being said, I found it to be an enormous amount of fun after the first couple times when I was quite nervous. The economy tanked, as we all know, in 08. In 09, I was still struggling and behind on bills and had responsibilities. And it was offered, and I thought, oh, cool, multitasking. I can have sex and get paid for it. They're not going to fall in love with me and want to follow me home and make fun of my mother at Christmas. They're just going to have sex with me and go away, which sounded very appealing. The romance versus the reality of the first couple shoots were significantly different than one thought. There's a reason we call it acting. In some cases, it's more fun, and in other cases, it's less fun. And the first couple times you're doing it, it tends to be less fun because it's quite choreographed. So what I thought we'd do today here is perhaps peel back the layers of the porn industry, how to get into it, who you meet the first couple times, the people with whom you work. They refer to it as male talent and female talent, and I think it's a very appropriate title, especially for the men, because they have it significantly harder for us. Let's start with the first couple times. I think a lot of people get into it, even young gals, looking at Craigslist. You're panicked. You have to pay a bill. You're looking at Craigslist. You see these things. You call them. My favorite, and I was lucky because I didn't fall into this trap, are the people on Craigslist or some of the other shady back page and other places that'll say, yes, you need to audition. And I think, you know, it's not brain surgery. It's sex. So you will go over with some of these lesser, not quite so honest people. And I've known people that have done this. They go over and they have sex and the guy's just looking to get laid and do it for free. Or he might give you $100. Even some of the pros charge more than that. Pros meaning prostitutes, not adult stars. I separate the two. At any rate, what concerns me about some of these auditions is that the gal will go over. They will make you sign a release that says they can use the footage. They will tell you that this footage is going to be sent to various producers that they know. And I always like that they know. They don't tell you who. And sometimes they actually might use some big names. But if you ever called Banger Brothers or Naughty America, chances are they haven't heard of Joe Schmo advertising on Craigslist. So these young gals will go over. They'll get paid $100 to have sex. And they've signed it away, and then this guy's going to upload it on Clips for Sale and make a fortune. Or he may actually know some of the people on the website, and he'll turn around and sell it to the website, the audition tape, and he will get paid thousands of dollars for something that she was paid $100 for. So this is not the way to go, neither for men nor for women. First off, most producers will require a current STD test. For the last couple, decade or so, there were AIM offices. AIM is an acronym for Adult Industry Medical Test. And you had to go and you were tested. It was interesting. You were tested for chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea, HIV-1, and HIV-2. They did not, let's clarify that, they did not test you for herpes because most of the people have herpes and that would 86 you out of the production. But you have to have a current clean STD test. And it's done every 30 days. Some people will just keep doing them, and that's what you like. When you're looking at, when you used to look at the AIM board, it would show your name, your real name, your birth date, and it would show several different STD testing. Sometimes people do kind of come with STDs, and they are benched for a week. You have to go take whatever antibiotic gets rid of it, unless it's HIV-1 or HIV-2, and then you're in for a whole load of trouble. A lot of the male talent with whom I've shot have said that they will only have sex with female talent with current STD tests. And if they decide to go out and play at a bar, a club, and get lucky, that they're using a condom because they can't afford not to make the money. We can talk about the money in a minute, but let's just say the men get paid significantly less than the women, and they have to do a generous more amount of work. Anyway, so let's get back to the audition. You shouldn't have to audition. There are only two reputable agencies in the Los Angeles area. Several people will say that they're with an agency, but they don't have, they're not a licensed talent agency. The most lengthy, prestigious, accountable, Jim South, who runs the World Modeling Agency, and it's off the 101 in Ventura, so I guess that's Ventura. No, I think that's Van Nuys. And at any rate, you will go in, you'll meet with him, he will explain the ins and outs of his company. He gets 20%, I believe, and that's fairly decent for an agent. He and his son will put you on their talent roster, and they will get you work. If you are short on funds, I've known him even to be kind enough to front you the money to get the test so that you can work that afternoon. Oftentimes, when starting this process, they will ask you about your limitations, and things like that tend to change as you progress. Limitations are, oh gosh, for example, they'll say, well, do you do IR? They have a lot of initials, and that means interracial. So if you're black, will you have sex with a white man? If you are Asian, will you have sex with a Hispanic person? Some people will, some people won't. They need to know that, because if you show up on a set and you decide not to have sex with whomever the talent is that they have selected for you that day, then they're out the production costs. They've hired a cameraman, they've hired a sound guy, they've got the paperwork, they might have rented a location. Naughty America rents very, very upscale homes and private locations. And, you know, there's a huge amount of cost. You make the agent look bad. You yourself don't look great. So you need to know what's going on before you walk in there. Sometimes it has to do with size. Some people like very large talent, and other people prefer not so large talent. And that's something else that needs to be discussed. Let's see here. What else do we want to talk about? I talked about the disparaging difference between the cost that everybody gets paid, the amount or income earned, I guess is the way I should put that. There are pretty much standard rates, which is actually interesting since it's neither unionized or anything else. But here in Southern California, as well as Florida, which is the second porn capital of the world, if it's a solo scene, you and your hands, you and toys, it's about $200. And you don't need to be tested for that, although most people will still ask to see a current clean test. For blowjobs or oral sex, depending on whichever way you like to call it, it's usually $250. For female-female, now this is one of those pet peeves I have. In this industry, they'll say girl-girl, boy-girl, and I, since I'm 56 years old, I have a tendency to think of girls and boys as somebody who's in middle school, not in the porn business, and that they would be arrested if they were using middle school talent. So I prefer male, female. So the female, female talent can be anywhere from 400 to 600. As you establish yourself, as you have a name in the industry, you can command more, quite simply because they're going to put your name up as, you know, some prestigious porn person, and they're going to get more people that will want to purchase it. So they'll make more, you should be getting more. The very basic male-female scene usually gets you $600. Low jobs usually pay the guys about $100, $150, and the male-female scenes usually pay them $200 to $300. Sometimes if it's somebody very well-known, again, they get more money for it, but not right off the bat. One of the things that I found, especially being a mature woman, is I didn't like the difference in the pay scale. You know, I was part of those people, you know, marching for women's rights, which meant that we should get paid the same as them. And then all of a sudden I end up in an industry that really doesn't have great pay scales. So naively, I decided that I would take part of my money, often you're paid in cash, and if I was paid in check, I would send the disproportionate amount to the male talent. Well, this was great, and I did it for the third, fourth, and fifth shoots that I had had without realizing that he had recruited me himself, and he was getting a finder's fee. So he ended up making more money than me. And one of the adult producers with whom I worked said to me, quite simply, you should not be doing that. And I said, why not? And she says, basically, you're messing with, well, she used the word effing, but you're effing with the time-space continuum. Men get paid less, women get paid more, and that's just the way it is. And after I found out that he was actually making more money and wasn't disclosing that, I felt slightly used and wised up quite quickly. So now I take what they give me, I smile, and I turn and go on my merry way. Let's see, what else do we want to talk about? It's important if you're getting into this industry, whether you're male or female, that you realize you will never again have the anonymity that you once had. I worked with a producer in San Diego who was a very smart woman. She did a lot of the film work. Her husband did a lot of the paperwork. And she was telling me how this one gal came in and was really wanted to work that day, and she said, okay, I'll shoot this, but, you know, and I will pay you today because that's what I promised you. And you realize that, you know, once I pay you, you've signed away your rights to this forever and ever. And she says, yeah, I understand. So she got the male talent in. She shot it. They did a great job. She paid the gal. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, this young lady, the talent, called her back and said, okay, now I've paid my phone bill and I paid off my bills. I want you to take it down. There's no taking it down. Once it's up, it's up, and it's up forever and ever and ever. If you are a grandmother and you've produced children that have run for public office, this will come out. We saw this recently with Herman Cain. You cannot hide this stuff. It's just there. It's available. When you show up on a set, though, you should always make sure you're comfortable. One of the reasons that I liked the AIM offices up so much is they had the doctor, the psychologist rather, and Jenna Jameson talking about this. If you show up on the set and something's not right, you're pretty much in charge. You can say, I need a different male talent. I need this. I need that. In my case, I often say, I don't want someone who smokes. I really find the smell to be repugnant. So the idea that I would be shooting with someone who just finished a cigarette and came in is not great. Some porn producers tend to be a little, artistic in their endeavors. Some don't care. So if you're not kissing them, which is going to sound really odd to people that you could have sex without kissing, but you walk in and you just get down to whatever it is, the oral part of sucking and effing right away. If you're going to do that, there are, and this is what's going to really upset some of the men out there. You go to get your hair washed and there are those 1 gallon shampoo bottles behind you and they have the giant pump. Well, most porn sets have those of lube, not shampoo, of lube. So the female talent, if she's not sufficiently aroused, will simply go over and get a handful, as will the male talent. He'll smear it all over his penis. She'll smear it all over herself. And insert toy, insert the gentleman and let's go for it. And they do call it work because it is work. You are choreographed very well, even before you start shooting. One of the first shoots that I did, the gentleman was very, very established. And the female had been talent, now she was a producer. And she looked at him and she said, okay, so we'll do cow, reverse cow, mish, and spoon. And I thought, I have no idea what these people are saying. So I stood there and I thought, okay, you could pretend to be stupid, but you know what? It's not going to serve you well because you. My philosophy was going to be when I got onto this career, show up, shut up, and do as you're told. Well, that's great if you can figure out what you're supposed to do. So I stood there for about a minute and I finally said, I'm sorry, for the neophyte in the room, can we talk in English because I'm not understanding what's required of me. And then they stopped and they paused. And I thought, okay, they're going to burst out laughing or something. And they looked at one another and they looked at me and they looked at one another and they said, we don't know what neophyte means. Neo what? And I thought, okay, clearly my intellect is a little bit higher. A lot of times the people that are in this industry do it because that's all they can do. And this particular camera woman was finishing up a degree in accounting, and she was talking to the gentleman about his FAFSA form, which was going to be the money that he was going to get so that he could go to school. So they were doing their things. I happen to be very, very bright. I'm very well educated. And so I don't find that many people in this business to be neither well educated or really smart. they also tend to be somewhat jaded. To have a real relationship, an intimate relationship, you know, they're looking at sex all day long. So the idea of going home and just doing it doesn't get the same erotic arousal response that you need. You know, if you look at the Kinsey report from the 50s, it said stimulation, lubrication, penetration. And I said that to a producer once, and he said, no, it's F, F, and F. You know, you got to do it this way. A lot of them are into, they call it the alternate lifestyle, which, you know, from to use my a term from my generation, would be swingers. Others are into BDSM. Others are into just multiple partners. You know, there will be several homes that they have where, you know, they have another couple living with them, and they just play, you know, musical beds instead of musical chairs like when you were children. So I think it's sometimes hard to stay in an intimate relationship, although I do know a couple and some are pretty good. What ends up happening for the most part for the talent, if they're doing it, is they will have a dispensation from their spouse to, you know, the guy can have a blowjob, but he can't actually have sex with the talent. And so if he's watching somebody and they get him particularly aroused, you know, afterwards she can go do that. That's actually not uncommon, and it's kind of unusual, I think, because you're being paid to have sex on camera. You're not being paid to blow the producer, the director, the camera guy after the fact. And if you are, you should be paid accordingly. Much in the same way you wouldn't go to a restaurant and say, you know, I'm thinking about having my company holiday party here, so, you know, go get the lobster and the filet mignon. I'm going to sample it, and I'll let you know next time if I'm going to pay for it. This is a job. There's certain things that are required of you, and you should be paid accordingly. We'll talk about the AIM offices being closed. That was a very, very disappointing thing. Cal OSHA came in and closed them, and I'm sure they had a justifiable reason for closing them. It was not fully disclosed what it was, even in the LA Times. It didn't say they were closed because of this reason. It was just one day they were open and one day they were closed. Well, if you go get a pedicure, the person working on my feet had to go to school and get so many hours of practical and pass a state exam and has a license. The person cutting your hair has this. They didn't offer us an alternative for that. It's just, it was closed. There was another company that popped up called Talent Testing. They are good. They're not quite as large. You know, I don't live in Los Angeles, so I would get tested elsewhere. And now I have to either drive 20 or 30 miles from my house to a testing lab to get my blood drawn. And Talent Testing is not as quick as OSHA or as AIM was. They sometimes can take 2 days to get it up. They'll tell you they won't, but, you know, bank on it. If you need the test for the next day, the producer wants the test for the next day, guaranteed, the Peter Principle, it won't be up the next day. If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. Male talent is hysterical in this. I find the most fun male talent are the ones that walk in. Now, they're going to get laid. That's just the job. These guys are going to walk in. They know they're getting laid. They're supposed to do this. They usually get hired for their ability to stay hard, required during the scene, their ability to climax fairly much on cue. People will give you a little leeway here, but usually if they say, okay, you're supposed to finish, nobody wants to wait longer than 5 minutes for you to finish. And ladies, if you didn't know this, a lot of times if they hold back and they hold back and they hold back, which is what male talent has to do, sometimes finally finishing is a little bit harder, more difficult. I don't want to use any pun words, but more difficult said than done. So when they finish, there's supposed to be volumes and volumes and volumes of this stuff. Otherwise, it's not as good, and they like it. Whether they call it vaginal cream pie when they finish inside, or anal cream pie when they finish in your rear, or if they're simply shooting it all over your face. You will see most people not care if they're being shot on their chest. We hate it, absolutely hate it, when it gets in our eyes, because it takes forever to get out. You can put eye drops in, but you still have semen floating around in there. That's the reason you want to make sure that the gentleman in question is clean. But the most fun male talent are the ones that walk in and they flirt with you mercilessly. And I had the advantage of working with somebody who did that, Jack Lawrence, XXX.com. He had been in the business for a long time. He walked in and was just as charming. I went to shake his hand. He's like, we're going to be having sex in 20 minutes. Let's just hug, at least hug. And this was one of those purist producers. And he said he wouldn't even consider allowing lube on the set, because if lube was on the set, then something wasn't happening. It wasn't real. And it was more artistic in nature. So that was his thing. He had to have no lube on the set. And that was it. When I first started, I didn't like, and I still don't, you won't, probably won't find more than one scene of this, I didn't like anybody performing oral sex on me. It seemed very tawdry to have that done. I was more cognitive of the camera and its angle when that was going on. So I just had a, you know, when they would say, what are your limitations? It's like, well, you know, I don't want them too large because it doesn't feel very good, and no oral. And they're like, no oral at all. And I was like, no. I like going down on them. I just can't have any oral on me. And they're like, seriously? Well, in Jack's case, he's like this puffed up peacock. And he's like, okay, but you know, I've gotten the AVN award 3 years in a row for doing it this well. And I thought, well, this is nice, but you know, I'm still not comfortable. Plus we're out in somebody's backyard. I mean, you know, the sun is in my face. I just couldn't imagine it. And he was very respectful of that. And we did the scene. We did two scenes, one where, you know, he finishes on my face and the other one where he finishes inside of me and then pulls it out at the last minute. And it was a lot of fun. But the second time he was climaxing in the 2 hours that we were shooting, he was having not a harder time. He just said, give me a minute. And he said, well, you know, what's really going to help me is if I put my hands inside her, since she won't let me go down on her. So he was hell bent, because he had worked as a professional escort or gigolo, to making me squirt. He was convinced he could make me squirt, and he did. And it was fun. And it was very unique, because you're sitting out in the middle of this backyard doing it. And he was a lot of fun. But the thing that I liked about several persons like that is the male talent walk in, flirt with you mercilessly, so it feels a little bit more relaxed, as opposed to I get hired, of course, to be the MILF seducing the younger guy. And as I said, sometimes they're not the smartest. So I'm seducing this guy that, you know, can barely connect two consonants together and perhaps has the IQ of room temperature. They're fun. They get hard. But young men have one speed and one speed only, which is jackhammer. And I'm sure that that's great for the viewer watching it. But as a female, after you've been pummeled for, you know, 5-10 minutes, perhaps going a little slower might be great. I'm just going to take a sip of water. Do you have anything you want to ask me?
So one thing I'm curious about is kind of, I feel like there's a difference between those in this industry that have some longevity in the business as opposed to those that kind of get in and get out. You know, they do a few movies to make some money. You spoke about the talent that you were with that's been in the business for a while. What are the things that you see in those that are able to just stay in this business for a good long time?
Okay. I think that the talent that has been in the business for a while really, really, really likes what they do. Perhaps sex as an invocation or a vocation is probably a little extreme, but I think that that's really what they think of it. Some of these guys do work as professional escorts. People will hire them. And I know it sounds funny because, you know, I was at the gym the other day and we were talking about there's a new Showtime. Is it Showtime or HBO? HBO has a show called Hung, and right after Hung comes on this thing called Las Vegas Gigolos. And there's about these guys that get paid to have sex. And most of them are considerably more vain than most women I've met. But the idea of paying a man for sex, if I were going to pay somebody for sex, it'd have to be smarter than some of the guys on this show. Not that I'm putting them down, and I guess to a certain degree I am. But for the longevity in the sex business, they have to be very, very comfortable with themselves. A lot of talent that you work with, whether it's male or female, will say that their families don't know. The ones who've been in the business for a while, their families have known. They finally have come out and said, you know, this is what I do. I'm in this. And they weren't being paid. Like I said, the men are not being paid great. So the men would do what they call content exchange, which is perhaps take a lesser fee and they get a copy of it to use on their website. So there's Christian, what is Christian's name? There's like JackLawrence.com. There is not an AnnabelleBrady.com. And there probably should be, because I would make way more money doing that than if I worked for somebody else. I've been told that, I'm looking at this. He has, the other gentleman that has his own website is www.ChristianSingsTheBlues.com. And these are guys that have been in the industry for a long time. Oftentimes, the people that are into the industry for a long time will start off very similar to mainstream acting as the talent. Then they might produce or direct a couple things. I've worked in San Diego with a couple different photographers, and the male talent would take the camera to do the point of view things, and the director would leave the room. So they have longevity because they get more creative with it. They have longevity because apparently their families have accepted it, which is fine. I'm not saying apparently. I'm just saying that because I don't know their families. And they're very comfortable with the work. They like it. Much in the same way that someone who works as a madam really enjoys the sex. If you look at some of those things from the Bunny Ranch on Showtime, these ladies really like sex. They really like getting off. They like to get off a couple times a day. So it seems to me that the male talent that has longevity does this. One of the things that I think is funny that they do when they show up on the scene is they're supposed to be ready to go like that. And so in polite company, you would never see a man. Or if you did, you would probably call the police sitting around twiddling their diddly while they're talking to you. That's exactly what they do. And they come in, they're flirting mercilessly. Their hands are in their pants. Their hands are down their pants. They're pulling it out. They're unzipping and they're stroking themselves, getting themselves hard. These are guys that are very, very comfortable with it. When the AIM website was up, Jenna Jameson talked about the fact that she would meet people even in an airport. One time somebody stopped her and recognized her and said, hey, you're great and I'd really like to have sex with you. I think it could be a porn star, blah, blah, blah. And her response to him, while it sounded calculated and harsh, she said, okay, get down there now. Let's get you hard right now with all these people watching. Stick it in. Get your rocks off. I'll give you about a minute to take a sip of water, and then we're going to do it all over again, because that's exactly what's required. The gentlemen that have longevity in this business don't mind that. They welcome that. Like when I was shooting with Jack Lawrence in San Diego, and I know this is going to upset some of these guys. They have these things called fake pops where they will take Lubriderm's going to have a heart attack. Lubriderm tends to look the most like semen. So they will get really hard. They will pretend. They fake it, ladies. They really do. They actually fake it. They will take it and they'll fake it and they'll squirt the stuff all over your face. And you're constantly being told, as if you need to be told, don't open your mouth. It's not going to taste good. Don't open your mouth. Because Lubriderm, by the way, does not taste very good. Semen tastes much better. So, they'll squirt it all over your mouth and then they wipe you down, make you look good, change clothes, go back in and make it look like another day or another scene. And you're still having sex with the same guy who's also changed his clothes. And then they get to pop. But the people who like it, the people with the longevity, because I remember the director asking Jack, do you want to do a fake pop? And he's like, no, I drove all the way down here from the valley. I want to have twice is what I want. So, he did it. He got an hour. He went and had a sandwich. He had something to drink. And then he came back and did it all over again. And they do this. And I have every confidence that he drove back to LA and probably shot something that night. Do I think to a certain degree some of us are dysfunctional? Yes. I don't want the intimacy. I just want the sex. In Jack's case, he's happy to do it several times a day. To me, as an older woman, I still think it's funny that younger men will find you attractive. And I get a lot of comments on that. I actually do a great deal of other work. I'm not that hard to find if you were looking for the real me. And I'll get letters from people saying, oh, did you like this? Did you like that? As a matter of fact, I was watching a TV show the other night, Prime Suspect, with Maria Bello. But one of the detectives in the squad was supposed to look at this porn footage. And then he met one of the stars in the squad room and he says, is it real? And she said, well, how real do you want it? In a very sultry voice. And to answer your question, whether it's real for the woman, the answer would be yes, no, maybe, and sometimes. Because, it depends on with whom you're shooting. By the time you're getting around to actually fornicating, it's usually pretty real. The first couple times, like I said, I wasn't totally into it. I was not happy. I was too much. You couldn't have like regular sex. Like, for example, if you're shooting an oral scene, I can grab his penis with my backhand, but I can't block the angle of the camera. Most porn people have shaved because it gives the illusion, and in some cases there was no illusion required, that they have a very, very large penis. So you can only hold it with your backhand. You can't block his crotch with your hand by holding it, which would be different than if you were enjoying yourself personally. Same with the scenes. You might want to have your hips drawn into him. Most women like that because you can feel, you know, there's a connective thing. You can feel their body. You can feel their penis inside you. But they will lift your legs so that the camera guy can get in there with the camera and you can see the angle of take penis, point, and insert here into slot A or slot B, depending on whatever the scene requires of you. So, you know, again, it's some of it's work. Some of it's really, really fun work. And his name was Frank Borgiano, the producer with whom we were shooting in San Diego, said to him, I remember, and I still tell people this story, about 3 or 4 years ago when you were still shooting for Vivid, that I forgot that you were on scene. He was just having so much fun, and the gal was having so much fun, and Frank chose not to tell them, no, you can't put your hand here, and you need to put your leg there, or, you know, we've gotten enough footage of this. You know, usually you pretty much get 5, 7, 10 minutes of one position, and then 5, 7, 10 minutes of another position. So basically you're having sex for 3 positions, 5 positions. They seem to be the going rate. But apparently on this particular scene that Jack enjoyed so much, he did not realize that he had forgotten the camera was there. And it made it much more desirable for him. Okay, let me take another sip.
So I almost feel like, you know, you're a magician giving away all the secrets.
You want me to talk about that?
Well, I'm just curious if there's people in the industry that would, you know, feel the same way, and are they protective of those types of things, or how do they feel? I mean, because the adult industry for the end user, as it were, is all about fantasy. I like to know the behind the scenes, and I'm sure many other people do, but do you think people in the industry have a problem with that, or do they like to keep kind of the veil up on those types of things?
I don't think they need, want, or care about the veil being up. I think for the most part, the people that work in the industry are quite proud. You know, they like telling people, I shoot porn, I do this, I do that. They pretty much will screech it from the top of the hills. I don't think, this is a very good question. I don't think I'm giving away trade secrets other than the pop, the fake pop. And I know that everybody's going to go back. There's somebody that's out in Pomona, and they mix up some sort of weird margarita thing, and then they put it in the freezer, and then they squirt it on you, and it's really cold. But they don't like anybody to know that they use this margarita ice thing because the ice makes it look like real semen. They said, you know, don't give away our secret on the margarita stuff. Well, you know, if I'm going to get something in my mouth, I would rather it be the margarita stuff. I don't drink, and I never acquired a taste for alcohol. I would rather get in my mouth. However, it's going to get my eyes. It's going to stink. So if they're doing this fake pop and they're squirting it all over your face, that's something else entirely. Porn, for the most part, tends to be about, and I know it's going to sound funny to someone who doesn't feel this way, the prestige. They like saying that they do it. It's also about the money. It's one of the few industries that wasn't hit hard by the economy in 08 and 09 tanking. If anything, they now can offer talent less because there's more people willing to do it. You know, when we talked about the auditions, I don't think the woman, I certainly wouldn't audition. And I even laugh now because every once in a while I have some flaky person call me and say, oh, you need to do an audition. It's like, well, you know what? Go look up Annabelle Brady XXX and you'll find hundreds of pages. As a matter of fact, I had this just this past week. And so he wrote me back and he says, nice. I like the Naughty America thing, blah, blah, blah. But you still need to audition. I said, you know, I told you I don't do auditions, never have, never will, but good luck to you. And he's like, well, come on. I said, no, because any reliable producer wouldn't require that of you. There's a gentleman, Dave Cummings, who's considered the oldest man in porn. He produces, he directs, he is retired serviceman. I think he, Lieutenant Sergeant, I'm not sure, I've forgotten what ranking he retired, but it was very prestigious. He's in his 70s and he's having sex with 20-year-olds. He doesn't require anybody to have it. If anything, he works tirelessly, and I think this is another thing, along with the Kalosha Closing AIM office, that he says it's the most pirated industry and nobody is doing anything about it. So if he does, and he actually does a series like Bang My Wife Volume, you know, 72, that he put it out one day, and by the next day, one of his friends in Belize or something like that had said, oh, yeah, I saw it online, and it wasn't even available internationally. So he knew it had been pirated. So basically, you get very much what you got here, but they crack down on the movies. Somebody standing behind somebody who bought the movie, recording it, and then they put out a lousier version of it. So, you know, he's not getting the money. He laid it out for the talent, the website. Everybody else was already paid. So he's the one that's, you know, doing the bad, you know, not getting the short end of the stick. Any other questions, or should I just continue talking?
You're doing great. And just kind of a side note, you can say whatever you want, as in you can curse and all.
Oh, you know, actually, what's funny about that is I don't swear in my real life.
Oh, okay.
So I tend not to do it. And I know that in sex, you're supposed to be saying, oh, yeah. And if you ever find a scene where I'm saying, yeah, go harder, fuck me harder, it's usually because I'm in the moment and I'm really enjoying myself. Otherwise, I wouldn't use that. I feel most porn is geared towards men because you're highly visual. So there has to be a certain look for every single thing, you know, whether it's a big, they call them BBWs, big, beautiful woman, whether they like the barely legal, which you can find a 25-year-old that still looks 17, 18, even 16, and they will get them up. There are specific genres that they like, and everybody's finding their niche for that. You know, they have, for example, you have websites that are devoted to larger penises, and sometimes they'll tell you that you get to say certain things, and sometimes they'll tell you you can't say certain things. So if I'm saying, oh, wow, you're really, really large, you're filling me up so great, and somebody at home that's playing is not blessedly endowed, that it's going to ruin the moment for them. So you just have to, you know, grunt and do things like that. I've been on sets where the producer says, okay, basically, you can't close your eyes, which is actually something I like to do. So I get chewed out a lot for closing your eyes. Keep your eyes open. And every once in a while, somebody will like be giving me a little knuckle in my back because I close my eyes. And that's because if I've closed my eyes, I'm not looking at the camera or the cameraman. And they're telling the male talent to tell me to open my eyes without stopping the scene. What else is funny about those scenes? Well, getting back to the veil, I don't think anybody cares. I think the male talent would prefer everybody think that they're just coming volumes and volumes and volumes. I know that I didn't work with this young man, but he was in the industry for a while, and I can't remember the name he was using. But he would be like an athlete in training. He would have a girlfriend, but he'd say, no, we can't have sex for 2 or 3 days beforehand because I have to save it up so that when I shoot, it goes all over the place. He really was adamant about the fact that, you know, he was very proud of the volume that came. And so the idea, I think if they were going to be upset about any screen that I removed, it would be telling you that not all the time have they come. They sometimes it's a fake pop. And if you say that to somebody outside the industry, that it was a fake, I don't know, did you know what fake pop meant? Fake pop.
I know the term pop refers to
the climax.
The climax. Yeah,
okay, so you did, but did you know that there were fake pops?
No, actually I didn't. And
are you disappointed now?
Well, that's where I came up with you know, kind of the learning the magician's tricks thing, because I didn't know that, and that's pretty interesting.
They do two different things when you go on set. One is the video, which you can see has a certain continuity and flow to it. And I think what upsets people is, you know, you'll be seeing something in one position that'll be going on for a while, and then they're home playing. And then when they go to do another position, like if you're going, you actually choreograph this. If you're doing cowgirl, certain things you can go from reverse cowgirl to spoon very easily because both of you can just fall on your side. The little things that drive the talent crazy that people don't see is if you're doing a scene, everything in the room has to be off. You're recording. So they turn off the refrigerator. They turn off the air conditioner. So if you're having sex for 45 minutes in the valley in August and it's 114 outside and they've closed all the windows so you can't hear the traffic outside, the inside gets really, really, really hot. And basically, you're slipping and sliding off of each other. The studios that put us up, there's Score in Florida and most of the homes, they will let you take a shower before you get back in the car because you're usually just dripping wet, sweaty. And half the time, you know, I'm running around with semen in my hair, so it's kind of nice to rinse it out before you go or get it off your chest. It doesn't just come off with a washcloth. You need to use soap and water. Let me think, is there anything else that goes along? Oh, the other thing they do is they do stills. They will do the stills with a fake pop. Stills are what they would put on the back of the cover of the DVD. So you'll get there, and that's when the guy's already, you know, playing, you know, and they'll say, okay, put it in, and okay, pull it out, and nope, halfway in, and now all the way in, and then, you know, and you're not necessarily pumping away. You're not necessarily going away. Put your tongue on the end of his penis. You know, you're using the wrong hand again, Carol. I get chewed out for closing my eyes and using the wrong hand again. So I have to turn around and change how I'm doing it for the stills. And then for the actual video, then they start with the, you know, you have to be really, really loud. You can't, you know, I read an article recently online that said when men climax, for the most part, they get significantly louder and they build up to a crescendo. Whereas when women are actually climaxing themselves, they get much more quiet. That's how their partners know they've gotten quieter. However, when we're actually having sex with you and we're going to climax and we think you're near climaxing, that we start to make more noise, which is probably why they like it when we just make tons and tons and tons of noise. Years ago, there used to be this TV show called Murphy Brown, and Murphy Brown was arguing with the young blondie. I can't remember the character's name. And the blondie was saying, well, you're just jealous because I'm younger. And she said, no, I'm older. I'm not jealous. And she went through a litany of things that made her better for being older. And one of them said, and I don't have to fake it anymore. And that's one of the nicer things that I think mature women have over perhaps somebody young. I have met some younger women that are very multi-orgasmic and really do enjoy sex. And great, they're in porn. That's wonderful. But I don't think I was that way as a younger woman. So when I'm having sex and I'm constantly squirting all over the male talent, they usually like that because they like to know that they're doing their job and they like to know that I'm enjoying it. When I was shooting that scene with Jack Lawrence, he was telling me a story of shooting a scene earlier that week with a gal that required lube. And he said, you know, this is great because Annabelle doesn't require lube. And that they were shooting and apparently they had a couple interruptions. But as I said, you do 5, 7, 10 minutes of a particular position. And apparently at some point in this young woman said to the producer, not to Jack, and Jack's pummeling away and he takes a great deal of pride in his work. She said to the producer, are you paying me with a check or cash? And Jack's like, what the, you know, I'm in the middle of, you know, doing this great thing to you. You should be enjoying it. People used to pay me, you know, women used to pay me for this. And the producer was even taken back and he says, I'm paying you with a check. And she said, oh, and we just have, we have one more position. And he said, yeah. And he looks at her strange. She goes, because I got to get to the bank by 3. She needed to deposit the check to cover whatever it was. Well, this so infuriated Jack and the cameraman and the producer that as they were going at it again, he said, let's add one more scene. So he deliberately, I didn't think it was fair because I don't think two wrongs make a right, but he deliberately screwed with this gal to make her later so that she wasn't going to get there. So there was probably going to be some bounce check fees associated with a late deposit for this young gal. The male talent ego is astronomical. I know a producer who said these guys probably wouldn't be getting laid anywhere else. Is someone who was married for 30 years and didn't go and do the bar scene, and they probably had clubs when I was younger. I just didn't go. I was pretty concentrated on my career and my academics. I never got the pickup scene. I didn't have a one night stand. So this industry that I'm in now is unusual in that I really enjoy it. But I think most of these men are very good looking. I think most of these men like sex. I think they have figured out what pleases a woman. And I disagreed with the producer. I think they probably could find sex someplace else. I think going into a bar and telling somebody that you're a porn star and then perhaps having them look at a scene of yours would, for some women, be a huge amount of catnip. You know, it would be something that would attract them. I'm sure there would be a proportionate amount of women that perhaps found that to be repugnant. But I think by and large, if you're in a bar looking to get picked up, that this would be something kind of fun. Take another sip. And you can come up with another question, unless, I don't know how long we've been talking.
Well, actually, we've been talking for 46 minutes. So
wow.
Time flies.
Yes. Do you have some? Let me look and see if I didn't do this. No more anonymity. Solo sites. Multiple gang tests. Who's in charge? Oh, I could talk about the website.
Sure.
People in the business and a different thing. Okay. With the abundance of internet stuff and with the talent and the agents, like I said, everybody calls themselves an agent. Most of them are just somebody that is getting paid $100, $200 to refer somebody to a production company. There is a website called sexyjobs.com where you can look at talent. You can't get a hold of the talent unless you're actually a producer or somebody who pays another. I think they have to. Talent can post their resumes for free on Sexy Jobs, but if somebody wants to get a hold of me, they would have to turn around and register and pay, I think, $150. And then you can contact somebody saying, you know, I'm a fan of yours. There are a lot of people that have their own private porn collection. They will put multiple cameras up in their rooms and they want to have sex with somebody that they thought looked really great having sex on the set. One of the first time I worked with, I think it was Alicia Silverstone Productions. It was a porn company out in the valley. Kenny, her husband, said to me, you know, just enjoy it, which is much easier said than done. And the scene actually went viral, which was interesting to me because I was way too nervous to really, really enjoy it the way that I should have or the way that I did at a later date. But he was right. You need to enjoy yourself. And if you're enjoying yourself and somebody's watching that and then they say they want to have their own private test with you, you know, or private, screening with you, they, you know, would have to get the same STD testing and do all the other stuff. And many people are more than happy to do that. I would imagine that I'm not the only person that's been contacted that way. Do you want me to have an in closing?
Yeah.
You can edit this down?
Yeah, and
or do you have more questions?
No. Whenever you feel okay. You're good,
we're good. All right, I'll do an in closing.
Okay.
In closing, I think, you know, when you want to know that it's real, it probably is. You can't willingly have sex, and not find it somewhat enjoyable. There may be some things you don't like, you know, it's 114 degrees and you're in the valley, or that you're really, really, really cold and, you know, you're in some place that they had to turn the heat off. But for the most part, you like what you're doing and it's fun. And, you know, there's going to be the Puritans that tell you that, you know, this is just cheap and you shouldn't be doing it. And you owe somebody someplace some explanation for it. You don't. This is between you and yourself. If you like it, then I'm going to like it. And they like, and anybody likes fan mail. I mean, it's always funny to get it. You know, like I have an IQ of 153 and master's degree and I graduated summa and I'm going to be best known for having sex on camera, which has nothing to do with the qualifications that I used to bring to the table on this. But it's fun to do. I don't mind that I've done it. I think sex at any age is a really, really, really healthy part. Everybody should be in tune with their own sexuality, find what they like, and not be ashamed, whether they're young, old, gay, straight, whether their preferences for small people, for large people, for feet, you know, whatever it is. Sex is a very, very healthy part of your physiology, and to deny it or ignore it is unhealthy. So continue to watch porn. This is Annabelle Brady for Skid Row saying goodbye.